Our text this morning comes from two short verses in the New Testament. One is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, and the other is in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as we look at these and as I read them. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. And then we look at Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and understanding of his word. Many of you may have seen in the newspaper a couple of weeks ago and on the History Channel or on the news or by some other media been reminded that April the 15th marked the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. For generations, this tragic story has captivated the minds and the hearts of people from all walks of life. The loss of the Titanic left a shaken world and caused many people to think about their own mortality. And I believe the Titanic story provides us lessons to remember, lessons which are relevant for us today. And the most obvious lesson to be learned from the Titanic is the sinfulness of human pride and arrogance. Now, the Titanic was the largest man-made moving object of its time. It was the most luxurious ship the world had ever known. And those who were on its maiden voyage were many, many of the wealthiest, most affluent people from around the world. There was the first class, the second class, and the steerage, which is below deck, the rooms below deck. But the owners of the Titanic failed to remember, I believe, what God's word tells us in Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Great achievements are too often done to glorify man and not God. And throughout the Bible, there are accounts of this very activity. Proud men who trusted their own abilities and their own self-efforts rather than relying on God, and all inevitably came to a tragic end. We just read in 1 Peter, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The Titanic was a symbol of everything man could achieve. And yet the society of that day forgot about God. And they even taunted his awesome power by boasting, "The Titanic is the ship that God cannot sink." Well, we know God could sink the Titanic. However, no storm or major act of God was needed. Once again, the arrogance of man was sufficient to facilitate his undoing. On Sunday, April 14, 1912, Titanic was making excellent speed. Captain E.J. Smith held church services on board that morning, which would have traditionally been followed by lifeboat drills. But it was too cold outside on the deck to go out for lifeboat drills. And besides, this ship was unsinkable. So no lifeboat drills were held that day. As for the lifeboats, the owners of the Titanic were so convinced that it was in fact unsinkable that they provided only half the number of lifeboats needed for all the people on board. It was later learned that they did this because photos of the ship would not have shown its grandeur as well if all the lifeboats needed were on board and blocking the beauty of the ship itself. Iceberg warnings were received via telegraph throughout the day and night, and they were generally ignored. The Titanic sped on forward towards disaster. The persons on the Titanic, I firmly believe, were really no different than we are today. If we were aboard a ship said to be unsinkable, would we think it necessary to conduct lifeboat drills? Would we heed iceberg warnings, knowing that our ship was unsinkable? We probably would not have been concerned. People are lulled into a sense of complacency and false security by wealth, comfort, and luxury, much like we enjoy today in the United States. In much the same way, the people of Noah's time were warned. In much the same way, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were warned. And today we are warned about the consequences of complacency. We are warned regarding our indifference towards sin and toward our own sin in our lives. We are warned of the price to be paid for living apart from God without the salvation of Jesus. Yet most of us do not heed such warnings. We continue in comfort and luxury and doing our own thing and forgetting God. Disaster struck the Titanic at 11:40 p.m. on April 14, 1912, as it collided with an iceberg. In 1985, when the wreckage of the Titanic was discovered, it was learned that there were only a few small holes into the hull. In fact, the entire damaged area was less than 12 square feet on this massive, humongous ship. So the first lesson we learn from this discovery is that just a few small sins can bring devastation and disaster to our lives. Just one sin can sink us. In James, he tells us, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point, he is guilty of breaking it all." So there's no such thing in God's eyes as big sins and little sins and sins that He'll gloss over and let us slide when we commit them. One small sin can be devastating in our life, can sink us. And when we commit that sin, we need to go to God and ask that He repair that hole in our life, that He forgive us for committing that sin, and He will do so and welcome us back into His arms as one of His children. After midnight, Captain Smith finally ordered the crew to ready the lifeboats, but sadly, very few of the lifeboats were filled to capacity. The rule was women and children first, and so many of the families were torn apart as the women and children bid farewell to their husbands. and to their fathers. And many of the wealthy on board refused to leave without their valuables. They went back to their staterooms to collect their belongings. And in doing so, they lost their opportunity to board a lifeboat. They failed to realize the danger and preferred to remain with their stuff instead of saving their lives. There are hundreds of inspiring and heartbreaking stories told of the last moments on board the Titanic. The band continued to play until the very end to calm the people and avoid a panic. The wealthy Mrs. Ida Strauss, whose husband was half owner of Macy's in New York, chose to remain and die with her husband on board the boat rather than leave without him. Hundreds were left on board with all the lifeboats gone and with no hope for rescue. One story that is seldom told is that of John Hopper, the new pastor of the Dwight Moody Church, and he was on his way to Chicago to the church, and he placed his, after the collision, he placed his little six-year-old daughter into a lifeboat and apparently made no attempt to save himself. And instead, he ran throughout the ship saying, "Women and children and the unsaved into the lifeboats." And those who survived said he continued to preach to anyone that would listen to him, and even continued when he jumped into the icy waters and was clinging to a piece of wreckage. When the sun came up that Monday morning, the survivors in the lifeboats had their first look at the harsh reality. Hundreds of corpses still wearing their life jackets were in the water, either frozen to death or drowned in the water. Hundreds died in the Titanic's steerage section below deck because the doors were locked and no one could locate a key. And a great many awe-inspiring artifacts were recovered in the 1995 location of the wreckage. They tell the story and remind us of what happened. We've seen pieces of the ship, personal belongings, including menus and tickets and letters. And the real question is, can we grasp what really the story is? How can we learn from this disaster? We can learn not to trust in the wealth and material things of the world. They are only temporary. Trusting in worldly possessions is futile. For we know, what does it profit a man if he gain the world and lose his soul? God's word teaches us the consequences of pride and arrogance, and they are always destruction in one form or another. In Psalm, the psalmist David wrote in Psalm 49, "Why should I fear when evil days come? When wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. For all see that wise men die, the foolish and the senseless perish and leave their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named land after themselves. But man, despite his riches, does not endure. He is like the beast that perish." As Christians, we are charged with the Great Commission to be the captains here on earth. For the sake of our passengers, those we are called to disciple, we cannot skip the lifeboat drills. We need to actively teach others there is a lifeboat, which is Jesus Christ. And we must show them that this lifeboat can help them, and we do this by teaching them the gospel. We must also reach out to the lost, those who are drowning in sin, and bring them into the lifeboat, and we do this by evangelism and education. No, we must not skip the lifeboat drills, for they are not only for the sake of those who are we are discipling, but they are also for us. We need to keep our skills sharp through constant Bible study and prayer. If we are tired on Sunday, or the weather is unpleasant, or there's something else tempting us, we cannot cancel the lifeboat drill and stay home from church. Also, we must keep the people in the lifeboat. We must keep those that we're discipling in a close relationship with Jesus, and we do this by discipleship. We need to heed the iceberg warnings and to keep our ship on a safe course. We need to be sensitive to facts which may bring us harm and harm to our ship, because our eternal lives and those of our passengers depend on us. You know, Satan would have us believe that we are unsinkable. He attempts to convince us that we don't need a lifeboat, that we don't need Jesus, that there's no sense of urgency, there's no need to rush from the ship. One of his greatest lies is that there's no need to rely on Jesus. He tells us it's safer to stay where we are, where we're comfortable. In other words, we should continue living our lives with ourselves in control. And I know it's inconvenient to place your life in someone else's hands. It's scary, but that depends into whose hands you are placing your life. We are not invincible. We are only here at God's grace. As Dr. Forder told us, life is a gift of God. Praise God that He's provided us with a means, a way to be rescued from this sinful world, and that is through His Son, Jesus. And even though we are hopelessly lost, with no way to save ourselves from eternal damnation, the Lord has provided each and every one of us with that lifeboat, with Jesus. But we must understand there is no doubt that the ship is sinking. It's not that it'll start sinking next year or 10 years. There's no doubt that the ship is sinking today. But like those on the Titanic, we're still reluctant to get in the lifeboat. Maybe it's because we want to go back and get our valuable stuff. Maybe it's because we feel like we can save ourselves, that we are a good enough swimmer, that we're smart enough. We feel safer and much more comfortable remaining where we are. We do not realize we are on a sinking ship and that the lifeboat is the only way to be saved. Sometimes we convince ourselves that our ship is unsinkable. We built it. We control it. We know its ins and outs. And we know it can't sink. But it's very simple to make sure that we can be saved. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. There are two choices: get into the lifeboat and live, or remain on board and die. It's not complicated. There are enough seats in the lifeboat. There are no people below deck locked behind doors. Jesus unlocked those doors when he died on the cross at Calvary. The lifeboat is not just available for women and children. We read in our text from Romans, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is not willing that any one of us should perish. Get into the lifeboat. And you can do that today. You can come forward and say, yes, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know the ship is sinking, and I want to be in that lifeboat so that I know that I can live for eternity. We invite you to come forward as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 305.